Catch you on our next episode.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Petrified on the back of a pedalo in the Balearic Sea of Algodia, I can see the ghost of my Uncle Greg waving to us from the beach, gently drifting out of reach. The telephone receiver swinging by its cord, a glass of broken beer expanding on the line. Oh, my mom slips into the coffin, a bowl of blood of his sweetheart, clutching good luck by me.
Hello, you're listening to Queued Up from 3 to 4. I'll be with you for the whole hour, broadcasting from UBC, CITR 101.9 FM. And you're listening to Richard Dawson, Nothing Important.
In the scullery of the cupboard, my clarinet falls into a sack of a flurry of pins, smudged into the leather handle. A crescent moon of sleeping fig wasps, drizzling my fingers with the magic sponge. Dad says we'll probably have to chop them off. He collapses like a canvas tent on the floor.
comics out with an ashtray for a brain. I don't care about these things. Why do they remain so clear while the faces of my loved ones disappear?
Spartacus Youth Club Class Series presents From Ferguson to Vancouver, Down with Racist Cop Terror.
On February 25th, Wednesday 6:30, in the Irving Barber Learning Center, room 315 at UBC.
Spartacus Youth Club at UBC, February 25th, Down with Racist Cop Terror. CITR's annual fundraiser kicks off this February 26th at UBC's Pit Pub. Is CITR your favorite radio station? Do you feel an intense desire to support its continuing mission to provide alternative programming that you literally will not hear anywhere else? Maybe you answered yes. Or maybe you just like to get wild and listen to good music. Either way, this event promises to provide all that and more. Featuring Ace Martins, Atsy, Tits and Bread, Listening Party, and student DJs between bands. Admission is $5 or $3 for CITR members and club affiliates. All proceeds go towards CITR's 2015 fund drive, running from February 26th to March 6th. Of something to
happen. Now, you see, the thing is, I played that Spartacus youth series, by the way, February 25th at UBC at the Irving K. Barber Center, 6:30, Down with Racist Cop Terror. And there's a recommended reading list for that online if you're interested in participating. But I played that first because I knew my voice was in it, and I was under the impression that I would be able to play something afterwards with my presence in it a little less prominent and be absolved of the saturation of myself into everything. But unfortunately, I ended up playing something with even more of my voice in it. And if that aspect of what you just heard was enticing to you, please stay tuned, because this is Queued Up. I'm Jonathan Q, as it turns out. And don't stay tuned, because you won't be hearing very much from me. At least not in a live context, not in a living scenario, only graveyard fragments of myself recorded, dead things. But, you know, even dead things deserve their time in the sun. So what we just heard was Nothing Important from Richard Dawson, and it's a lovely song, very, very winding, reciprocal, from the minute to the explosive. UK artist Richard Dawson, just the sheer ferocity of his singing in a live context too, him banging on his chest just to get his voice out of himself, to yelp that additional little bit. It's a very extraordinary thing to see him live on YouTube, that is. I myself, not in the flesh, no. And this show, as it turns out, is going to be about that kind of ferocity, albeit in a different context, in a more industrial context, in a more electronic context, a more rock context as well. It's interesting, maybe, I think, in the past few decades, this diffusion of, the sound of extreme music, of extreme tones being diffused, the fact that, anything harsh, anything hard, becomes tame as a matter of time, and now, those sounds not being used towards the purpose of merely antagonizing someone, or, that you can use very harsh sonic tones, such as, a band like Lightning Bolt, did this with utmost glee throughout their discography, particularly on their 2003 album, Wonderful Rainbow, using harsh lo-fi battery for the sake of expressing glee and joy. And on the other hand, you have someone like Richard Dawson, who's using very minimal, folky sort of instrumentation, this wandering, delicate meditation towards very harsh and extreme ends. And, it's interesting, that diffusion, and I'd like to take this time to express that. This week is, of course, if you are a university student in Canada, Reading Week, our spring break up in the north, amidst the cold and the winter, and it is quite nice outside, but it's also sedate, and seeing as I myself
And not to present you with a totally, you know, sad and sad picture of myself alone, miserable, enclosed, entombed. But I'm by myself in this recording studio right now. And without a concept, without the time to prepare a concept, I find myself limited on things to talk about. But I have recorded some interviews, one today, another a few days ago, which pertain to the sundry musics that we will be going through in the course of this show. Of course, Pharmacon, New York. What's the word for this? I cannot remember. Let's just call her a noise artist. New York noise artist. Pharmacon, going to be at the Fox Cabaret this Saturday with a local act, Mass Marriage, who is an industrial slash harsh noise artist, and the Rita, who I believe is from Sweden. And that's happening this Saturday. And last Saturday, on Valentine's Day, I saw Francisco Lopez, who is a very, very prolific composer himself, touring with Rainier Van Hout. And they did a two-movement composition. The first movement, extremely minimalist, dissonant piano piece, incredible amounts of pounding repetition, the proceeds of which were then sampled by Francisco Lopez for the second piece, as the lights dimmed and we were submerged in darkness, and the sounds of the piano we just heard were fed back at us, layered upon itself, electronically distorted and destroyed. And, you know, interesting bit of mediation on memory and remembering things and what it is to have your memories recorded and played back at you and played with. And we'll be hearing some Francisco Lopez, that exact, an excerpt from that exact piece that was played at the Orpheum Annex last Saturday, later this show. And we're also going to hear Pharmacon later this show. And yeah, hopefully I'll figure out something else to talk about after this. But right now we're going to hear from Morgan, who was at the Francisco Lopez show with me, and sort of as a newbie in these terms, you know, always interesting to hear opinions from people who have been dropped into a circumstance completely fresh. And in her case, not really an experimental music fan, not really a fan of minimalism at all, really. But as always, again, interesting to hear opinions from the mouths of people who are submerged into a totally new experience, especially if they are earnest and not with concern to one's own preserving of their firm self, their firm, you know, status as a knowledged being. Because, you know, each of us have our own set of knowledges, and Morgan's is quite phenomenal.
Keep holding on, cause make it through. There's nothing you can say, nothing you can do. There's no other way. Stop. I don't know. Hello?
So, what's up? Can you talk? Okay, that's great. Let's not have you take crazy or anything. So, Morgan.
That's the sound of my spleen exploding. Yeah, what?
What did you think of the show on Saturday? Valentine's Day, I might add.
It was very romantic. I felt a lot of love in that room. I'm just kidding. It was really scary.
Okay, how was it scary?
Like thunder.
Children crying.
Like I had this very, very clear image in my head. Like in the second movement, when it was more industrial sound, of parents who had foolishly brought their children to this very expensive show.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, some people can't afford a babysitter, so that's the thing.
So they can afford this, yeah, regardless. And the sounds happening, and the children bursting into tears, and the parents having to quickly pick them up and rush them out, thereby wasting a good chunk of their money.
Mm-hmm. $35.
They weren't witnessing.
Although I presume the children, the infants did not have.
I'm sure children would be free.
Yes.
Although, you know what? I bet they would stop them at the door. They'd be like, "Please check your children," and they'd have a little pen off to the side where you could place your child.
This was at the Orpheum Annex, and assuredly there would be accommodations for people who
were bringing their children, or small yappy dogs, or, you know, other indentured things?
But no, I mean, it was an interesting experience. Like, I'm glad I went.
And what did you think of what did you think of the first movement?
Wait, pardon me?
What did you think of the first movement?
Wait, can you say that again?
What did you think of the first movement? What did you think of the first movement?
I liked the first movement, actually. At first, it was like, oh no. Like, when he was just playing that one low note over and over and over again, I was like, I can't do this. I'm going to burst out laughing, or I'm going to fall asleep, or something in between going on, which is sort of cool. Yeah, I really did enjoy the first movement. The second movement, you know, it was more intense. I spent a lot of time just watching the shadows on the wall. It reminded me a lot of Nate on Bald Mountain.
Can you talk about a childhood experience
that's what it was,
that you could
related to?
Yeah, that you could relate this to?
Yeah, watching Fantasia and Nate on Bald Mountain.
And what happened while you were watching Fantasia?
I probably ate some frozen peas. I used to really like eating frozen vegetables. Stuck one up my nose one time. So that's probably something that was happening.
How did you get it out of your nose? How did they get it out of your nose?
My mom had to make me blow my nose really hard.
Some children get food stuck in their nasal cavities, and then it starts to decompose, and that's where a lot, like, bad breath can occur
in those cases. Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that, as a parent, you should really be checking up on that. Like, just get your kids to blow their nose.
But, you know, excessive blowing of the nose can also rupture blood veins, vessels, can cause...
It's a risk you gotta take. It's between that or having rotten food in your child's nose.
Was that the risk that you took as a child?
Well, I guess.
What about your children? Will they be having access to food that can be easily stuffed up their nose?
They will only have giant handfuls of something hard that they can't stick in their nose.
Like a carrot.
No, you can put a carrot in your nose.
A carrot wider than a finger, for example.
Yeah, like a large carrot.
A large carrot,
maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, not a baby
along.
Carrot. But you eat a lot of baby carrots, don't you?
I do eat a lot of baby carrots.
You eat a lot of baby veal?
This is not going to go on the radio, is it? Because this can't go on the radio.
Do you eat a lot of
this
baby
last section.
Veal?
Do I want a baby meal?
Veal.
Veal, no, I don't like veal.
Why not?
I don't like the taste of it, and I don't like the idea of it.
What's wrong with the idea of it?
Oh, just like little baby animals that can't move, and are just trapped until their meat is tender enough to be slaughtered. Plus they're babies, and it's like, that's sad. I mean, the same thing happens with, you know, a lot of animals. But it's a baby.
Wow. Alright then. Thank you, Morgan. This has been very
enlightening. You're very welcome. Have a great show.
the Middle East by Lightning Bolt, and we're gonna listen to some Shearing Pinks now. Listening to Shearing Pinks, Muscle, Memory, the song Spoken Smoke. Before that we heard off Fantasy Empire, upcoming LP from Lightning Bolt, who have not released anything for close to half a decade now. The Middle East. Lots to be said about that conjunction of words, but first we're going to hear from Josh, who is doing photography for this upcoming Saturday's PharmaCon show at the Fox Cabaret. And then we're going to hear both PharmaCon and an excerpt from Francisco Lopez and Rainier Van Holt, untitled 275, which was spoken about earlier during the show. And you are listening to Cue It Up on CITR 101.9 FM. Josh, you're taking photos for PharmaCon this Saturday. What is your photographic method?
I don't know.
How are you going to take those photos? Are you going to get up in your face? The PharmaCon artist likes to get up in people's faces and make them feel things, emotions-wise. Who's that? Sontag. Susan Sontag had this thing about how, you know, when you're taking photography, when you take a photo of someone, you're like objectifying them, you know. You're taking their aspect. How do you feel about that?
I definitely feel
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Josh?
I definitely feel that there's I'm looking for those moments of intensity.
You ever get goop out of your eye and you're just like, how long has that been in there?
Yeah, it usually hasn't been there that long. Okay. I'm just looking for moments of intensity. I think that.
So it's not the photographer's job to create the intensity. They're
right.
Just there
I'm
to
not trying
frame
to create
it.
The image. I'm right. Right. At least within my own practice, I
you
try
know,
to be more of a documentarian.
You know, my first experience with photographs. My first that I can recall was getting these toys. And you know, it's one of these toys like
creating
Savannah like photo like. Slideshow and you put it up to your face, you know, and then you're like,
I think even with, I know exactly what kind of show photography.
And you click through,
the
that was a great click.
Already there,
and
you're just documenting the performance.
And you just click
so
through
I guess
the images,
that's how I approach
and you
it.
See each okay. image in succession.
Okay.
And you know, why you think I, well, because it's tripe, it's not. It is not up to the incredible standards which I expect from my literature,
You're sounding a little pretentious there, Don.
Yeah, a little pretentious? I'm trying to sound extremely pretentious right now.
I'm actually very interested in going back to a conversation that you're having about photography.
Okay, fine, we'll go back to that.
I want to hear more about your first experience
with photos. Okay. So recently I'm currently doing economic political geography. We were doing a economic geographical political analysis of our childhood photos. My God, it's beautiful outside. It is like
purple
radiating purple hues coming down over the sky. The young girl is not always young. More and more frequently, she is not even female. She is the figure of total integration and disintegrating social totality. The amusing misery of teenage romance in Witold Gombrowicz's Verdyk preliminary. Well, this is all incorrect. Verdyk.
Yeah, that you just ran into it.
Verdyk.
The worst radio word ever.
Verdyk. Preliminary materials for. Oh no. And informed by Pierre. The good thing is edited. You don't even edit it. Pierre Klaus.
She needs to be filled in Hollywood. And maybe the question was why does that need to be filled? Why is that part of become part of the
economy? I think that's a fair connection to make. That's not necessarily what I was saying, though. But you know, it's so interesting. There is this piece about Joanna. Joanna Newsom asks, is she a fashion icon? Is she not just being, you know, bandied about images of her, about social media and the Tumblrs and, you know, all these various websites and, you know, the 24-hour independent news cycle? And it's like, that's just how she dresses.
And how do we fix it, John?
Well, yeah, I guess we'll just have to stay tuned in to cue it up to find out. Thank you, Josh. Thank you. Here you go. Kiss the mic. Yeah, that's great. All right. Yeah. And see you at PharmaCon. Thank you.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
Ocean, border, sub, urban, dispersal, determinacy, mulatto, mestizo, Métis, Cabra, Eurasian, Creole, colored, colored, split. Those who have no history are doomed.
An excerpt from The Reinventing Wheel, spoken by author, Vancouver poet, Wade Compton. Celebrate Black History Month with CITR 101.9 FM as we host content exploring Black history in Vancouver and beyond. Tune in this February and check out CITR.ca for regular updates on the scheduling of our Black History Month programming.
That mic is... it's not wanting to turn on. So you've been listening Queued Up, and you'll be hearing it for about some more minutes. Last track you just heard was a Bestial Burden from, Body Betrays Itself from Pharmacon's Bestial Burden. And again, Pharmacon will be playing at the Fox Cabaret this Saturday. I believe it's the second time she's played in Vancouver. She played a few years ago at the Electric Owl. Very, very intimate show. And before that, you heard Francisco Lopez, Untitled 275, an excerpt, but edited out by the artist or his label or, you know, some such person involved in that chain of events. And yes, it is also Black History Month here. Yes, it is just Black History Month, as it is February, but at CITR, stay tuned, check out our website for Black History Month programming, special programming, special broadcasts, and et cetera. And it's, Pharmacon, artists like hers, or, you know, local artist, Mass Marriage. Although I've always perceived our local noise scene to be quite inclusive. As always, noise as a genre, as a movement, has always historically, in Europe perhaps, in North America for sure, and definitely Europe as well, actually, been sort of a boys' club. And, you know, it's very typically... a genre predominantly occupied by white men, and that is sort of the license to be, you know, as brash, as offensive, as non-PC as possible, but really from a perspective that is, you know, a place of privilege that can't really be impugned upon in the sense that these artists see fit to impugn everything, and yet they are themselves shielded from that. And it's necessary to have artists like Pharmacon, like Mass Marriage, who we'll hear a bit from before the show ends, and then you're going to hear a rebroadcast of Asian Wave. Stay tuned for that. And at 5, I'll actually be back on air, as I'll be sitting in on an Oscar panel during today's Arts Report at 5 p.m. But, you know, artists like that are important. And, you know, speaking as a person of color myself, I don't perceive a lot of individuals who aren't white or Southeast Asian in the noise scene. I don't know whether that's because of a cultural divide or because that music speaks to a certain kind of privilege, a certain perspective that isn't accessible to everyone, or whether those spaces aren't safe spaces for a lot of people. And I know there are people of color in Vancouver who are associated with the noise scene here. And again, I've always thought the noise scene here was more inclusive, more welcoming, warmer than in other places. And... you know, these are good things. So come on, check out Pharmacon this Saturday at the Fox Cabaret. And we also played some Lightning Bolt today. They'll be down in Seattle on April 28th. So make sure you book a Greyhound down there and check that out if you're into it. Label Mates Liturgy will be in Vancouver the day before and then joining Lightning Bolt on their tour the following day. But Liturgy playing in Vancouver, Lightning Bolt will not be. They will just be down Seattle. And yeah, thank you for staying tuned for this very sedate spring break edition of Queued Up. Next week it'll likely be another calming show, another soothing show, as I scramble to finish a paper and my midterms and other various amounts of work I have to do. So stay tuned for that. And here's Mass Marriage. We're going to hear a bit of her track Ghost. She'll be opening along with the Rita from Sweden. Be opening for Pharmacon on Saturday at the Fox Cabaret. And stay tuned for Asian Wave coming up on CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you for listening.